Well, good morning. Today is the first sermon that I'm going to be preaching on in our Faith on Film series. And we may have picked the first dud of the season for our movie this week. The Edge of Tomorrow, the Tom Cruise blockbuster movie that has had terrible reviews this weekend and is tanking in the box office, as I checked this morning just to see how it was doing. It looks like Maleficent in its second week is going to be have more box office ticket sales than this new one here, Edge of Tomorrow. But it's too late to go back in time now, so we're going to go and talk about Edge of Tomorrow. As we've done in previous times, we're going to look at a film and look at what the main theme of it is, or a sub-theme of the film, and then talk about how that relates to faith and living a godly life. Now, in this movie, The Edge of Tomorrow, The main tagline, if you will, is live, die, repeat. Live, die, repeat. And what happens is Tom Cruise's character, Major William Cage, gets this fortunate or unfortunate ability to keep coming back to life. And so he will die in battle, and then because of this extraterrestrial power that he's been given on an accident, he wakes up a few days before he dies. And so, and this keeps happening and happening and happening. Every time he dies, he goes back to this one point in time. And so, it's kind of like Groundhog's Day. Do you remember that movie with Bill Murray? That was a terrible movie, too. Just got a little repetitive, don't you think? But anyways, so what I got to think about is, how many of you would want this superpower of live, die, repeat? Would any of you want that? I don't think I would want that either. Maybe you would, you know, you'd die today and then you'd wake up and hear Bruce's sermon from last Sunday and laugh at some of those jokes again. That'd be awesome. Yeah. So when we look at this live, die, repeat, as interesting as that may sound to us and as terrifying as it may sound to us, we only get one chance in this life, right? We only get one chance. We get a live, die, and then we either have eternal life or eternal death. We don't get to repeat this life. Now, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16, and if I'll give you a minute to turn to your Bible there. We're going to talk about the rich man and Lazarus for a minute. The rich man and Lazarus. We're going to start in verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. So we learn right away that he's unable to care for himself. He can't even stop the dogs from licking his wounds. And instead of the rich man allowing Lazarus to come in and take table scraps off his table, the dogs are coming in and taking the table scraps. And then they're kind of coming and rubbing it in Lazarus's face, kind of. Verse 22 says, the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, when he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. So we see that this man, he knew Lazarus enough that he even knew his name. So it's not as if he can't say, oh, I didn't even know that there was a beggar sitting outside my wall. He knew his name. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. Because your fate is sealed at death. You don't get to change your mind once you get the results. He answered, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. He's foreshadowing there the fact that even when Jesus comes from the dead and rises from the dead, they're still going to reject him. It doesn't matter what happens to some people, they're not going to see the truth. They're not going to see the truth in Jesus. What we see from this is that our fate is set upon death. That's the final buzzer. That's your last chance to get things in order in your life. And what the rich man did in his life has sealed his fate for all eternity. And just like the rich man, our fate is also sealed by what we do in this life. All of us will face a final judgment. Some call it the judgment seat of Christ. And it reads here in Matthew, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence, and He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world.' Then the King will say to those on His left and say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life.' When we stand before Jesus and we have our deeds laid out before Him, will we show ourselves to be faithful? Will we have shown ourselves to be a man or a woman of faith? Will we have done what God has called us to do? Did we put that faith into action? For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. And now here is on the judgment seat. And I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it, the earth and throne. And the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will confess and give praise to God.' Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God." None of us are getting out of this. We all will stand before Christ one day and account for what we have done in this life. The question is, how are we going to account for ourselves? Are we going to give a list of all the good things that we've done in life? Say, "Look at God, look at all the great things I've done." Because you can go that route. You can say, "God, look at all the great things I did. I went to church. I got Pastor Kevin chocolate. I did all these great things." But you know what? Those great things are not enough. Because the one thing that matters is our faith in Christ. There is one standard, it says, to be judged by, the law. If you want to be judged by your deeds in this life, then we can do that. But if you want to be held up to the standards of the law, then you have to fulfill the law completely. You cannot have any error, any transgression against the law in your entire life. Because that's the other way to get to heaven. I've told you before, there's two ways to get to heaven. One way is to live a perfect life, never sinning, ever. And you can't say, "Okay, I'll start today." It's your whole life. But that's the law. There is no grace in the law. But on the other hand, if you accept the grace found in Jesus Christ, He gives you a way to stand confident on that day of judgment. Listen to what Paul says. "But now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law," because look, that's impossible, "as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by," read this with me, "placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes no matter who we are. Okay? Because for everyone has sinned. For all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this when through Christ Jesus he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in the past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just. And he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they what? Believe in Jesus. Paul continues and says, can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? Can we stand before the judgment seat and say, this is what I did? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on what? Faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. We can stand confidently at the judgment seat of Christ because we know that we have faith in Christ. And that faith is what acquits us. It sets us free from the burden of the law. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege, where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, our debt is paid. Jesus stands up for us and says, my blood has paid for their sins. And at the final judgment, those of us who have that faith in Christ will be welcomed into eternal life. That eternal life that Jesus offers us and provides us and promises us. We will be on the right side with the sheep. But for those who do not follow Christ, who do not have faith in Christ, who do not accept God's gifts of salvation, your fate is also sealed. And yours is on the left. And your fate is eternal damnation. Hell is described as a lake of fire, a place of eternal torment, a place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus says to you today, choose this day whom you will serve. Will you serve Christ? Because choosing Christ gives you new life. It gives your life purpose. It gives your life meaning. It gives you hope. It gives you eternal life, eternal hope. But choosing to follow anything other than Christ leads to a path of destruction, to death and despair. We don't get to live, die, repeat. We either get to live, die, and then have eternal life, or live, die, and have eternal death. And we get one chance to make that choice. And I pray today that each one of you in this room makes the choice to live for Christ. Because there is no more important decision that you will ever make in your entire life. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for the grace that you've given us in Jesus. And I thank you for the promise that we have from your word that tells us that if we choose life, if we choose you, that you will grant us that eternal life, that you will welcome us into your kingdom. And I pray, God, that as we go through our daily lives, we will never forget the magnitude of this gift, and that we will never take it for granted, God. Give us a passion to share this gift with others so that they too might know you and might come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.